This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Final hour on this Friday around the country. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney bringing you through happy hour here. Company from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and family? Rocket can. Yeah, we got eyes on the golf. Tiger Woods just teed off, found the middle of the fairway, pured it, and he's off. And obviously, if birds are dropping, or unfortunately, if bogeys are happening, we'll let you know. Round two of the PGA Championship. We're pretty deep into it. A little baseball today. A lot on LeBron and Kevin Durant chiming in on Kyrie Irving. Jim Harbaugh calling out Coach Day on a conference call. Win a game, Jim. Beat the Buckeyes before you start doing that. Otherwise, it's a little petty. Teak, I don't think this is a stretch. I mean, Cam is really interesting for sure to see what happens with the Pats and all the other young quarterbacks and the rookies. And there's a multitude of cool NFL stories you and I are really looking forward to. Please let there be a season.
Yeah.
But, you know, one that we know is centrally on everybody's radar, but to be fair, it's been kind of pushed off to the side for a little bit, has been Baker Mayfield. That is going to be amazing to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing because there's so many, I don't know, unknowns. I don't know. It's unknown right now. This is his third head coach and third offensive coordinator in Cleveland already. Freddie Kitchens was obviously last year, and Freddie thought he had it figured out. He clearly didn't because he was a one-and-done coach, and That's just bad for the resume. But new general manager there as well, Andrew Berry, had some interesting things to say about Baker Mayfield, and we'll dissect them.
Baker has really been outstanding this entire spring and summer. Level of engagement with the coaching staff, getting up to speed mentally with the system, his interaction with his teammates. He came back and added four pounds of lean mass, cut body fat, came back in terrific shape. He's done a really, really nice job of what I would call it, like almost creating community, really bringing guys together, as difficult as that can be, as everybody's really been trying to function virtually. We're all really excited about him entering the year.
Let's get hyped.
Let me ask you a question.
Let's get hyped. He put on 4 pounds, BT.
I was going to say, I mean, that's all right. So that's a fresh, young-ish GM saying a whole lot of nothing. I mean, saying what any other GM would say.
Yep.
Why are we – I'm not saying that it's not true or that it's not going to come to fruition, but why are Browns fans supposed to be really moved by that?
They are not, BT. They should be moved by the fact that Kevin Stefanski is a really good offensive mind, and they have an ability with the talent they have with a good offensive mind and someone who's not overwhelmed. And Stefanski may be overwhelmed. This is first head coaching opportunity, but let's hope he's less overwhelmed than Freddie Kitchens was, and obviously with more talent than Hugh Jackson had. But let's just hope that he gets this right with the young team. And I think he will, because he'll focus on the run game. And they have two of the best backs in football, in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So they have talent. And obviously the receiving core we've always talked about. But I think the bigger question here, BT, you enter year three, and this includes your guy and with the New York Jets, Sam Darnold. You enter year three of a contract, it's moving time. It's like, all right, we got to figure out, one, whether or not you're worth the fifth-year option, which is basically the franchise tag, and two, do we got to start looking for somebody else or thinking about somebody else? So for Baker Mayfield, I know it's unusual situation, circumstances because of the coaching changes that have happened over the last 2 years. But this is really an important year for him, just like it is for Sam Darnold, just like it is for Josh Allen. Not for Josh Rosen, unfortunately. Lamar Jackson has already established himself.
Yep.
You go look at that draft, and there's a lot of question marks still left on the first round quarterbacks, and in particular Baker Mayfield, because he was number one overall.
And I think what complicates that, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, did Whaley draft Josh Allen with Buffalo, or was it right after Whaley left? Either way, there's been enough success with from a team point of view.
Yeah.
Not that Allen doesn't need to progress. He certainly does. But, you know, Baker Mayfield, you know, James Berry wasn't there when he was drafted.
Yep.
And when Sam Darnold was drafted, that was Mike Maccagnan. That was not Joe Douglas. So you start to get into the third year of, you know, top five picks who have been a little uneven across the board. And there's a different GM in the building. It complicates it a bit.
Yeah, it does complicate it a bit. And so it's, you got to prove it. Because he may like you, and Andrew Berry, the GM of the Cleveland Browns, who we just heard from, may be saying really good things about Baker Mayfield, but he didn't draft Baker Mayfield. You know, it's not his guy. It was not Whaley. It was Brandon Bean, who drafted Josh Allen, BT, with the Buffalo Bills, who's done a really good job, Brandon Bean.
Obviously. It was Beam. Okay, yep. That's right. I
obviously,
gotcha.
Sean McDermott has turned into a really good coach. We kind of knew that because of his principles from Carolina with Ron Rivera. It was Brandon Bean, but not Whaley. So, I mean, that one's working out. You know what I mean? And I think that Lamar Jackson is clearly working out, having already won an MVP in his short career. But Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are two that just make you start to wonder, what does year three bring? Not in a negative way, but I got to keep my eyes open and make sure that this was the right pick at the top of the draft. You know, another thing is interesting. I looked at some of these other draft picks, the quarterbacks. I went through all the quarterbacks, BT, in the 2018 draft. Kyle Laletta was drafted by the Giants. And obviously he was whatever. He was a fourth-round pick, though.
Meaning he's expected to be on the team for a couple of years.
The next year they drafted Daniel Jones.
Yes.
The Dallas Cowboys drafted Mike White that year as well. Not insignificant because Dak Prescott was there. The New England Patriots drafted Danny Etling seventh round. The next year, they obviously drafted Jared Stidham in the fourth round. Not like he drafted a first rounder, but the quarterback selection process is baffling to me. Who you think is going to work out? Do you take them late or do you take them early? And if you take them early, like the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets have serious question marks right now, they better work out.
Teague, you know what would be a great exercise to do at some point? We can even navigate this now off the top of our heads because I know we have enough in these brains to piece enough together. But I would almost guarantee that if you were to run through the history of each team, right, each franchise's best quarterback, I bet that the percentage of teams whose indisputable best quarterback of all time was not a first round pick.
Huh, it's interesting. Well, so the Giants clearly was.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they were. So was Namath, so that bangs out our teams. But you look at the 49ers, Joe Namath, fourth round pick.
Yeah.
You look at, I mean, obviously expansion is Dan Fouts. Rivers has great numbers too. I'm just bouncing around. Dan Fouts was what? I don't think he was first round.
I don't think he was either.
He was. It's probably not the thing to run through entirely on the air. I'll give you Dan. Dan was a third round. Dan Fouts.
Yep.
Now, if you believe it's Philip Rivers, then that changes it because Rivers was obviously part of the 0-4 class with Eli and Big Ben.
But Dan Fouts is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, absolutely.
Not that Philip Rivers is not going to be one, but Dan Fouts is already a Hall of Famer.
That's true. That is true. You get into Bradshaw was the first overall pick back, and I guess that would have been 1970. Now, in terms of the championships, it's Terry. Is it Big Ben in terms of the numbers? Yeah, but even Ben was a first-round pick. I mean, maybe I say that a little bit too early. Marino was a first-round pick, even though he dropped. So here's the two that jump out. Maybe that's why in my mind I'm like, so Brady, sixth round, okay, obvious. Mm-hmm. and Montana fourth round. So those are two. Those are the two best quarterbacks of all time, fourth and sixth. Seattle, Russell Wilson, third round. Boom, there's three right there. Fouts, I said Fouts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to forget about the expansion or the recent.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs, it would be Lynn Dawson. He was a first rounder.
Okay.
But even if you or have a massive recency bias and say, oh, it's Patrick Mahomes because of what he's done at such a young age. He's only 25 years old. He was also a first rounder.
Yep.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, let me think about this. You almost got to be a first rounder, right?
Jim Kelly was a first rounder, but he went to the USL for a minute for the Bills. I mentioned Miami, the Ravens. If it's not Lamar, it's only been a year. Do you go Vinny Testaverde for a couple of years, or do you go Joe Flacco? Either way, both first-round picks.
Yep.
So maybe I'm actually making myself look like an idiot here, actually, the deeper I get into this exercise.
Your instinct is that you don't have to be a first-rounder, but the reality is you kind of do.
Huh.
and that's why you better be right when you draft these kids in the first round. It doesn't necessarily make or break your seasons or your whatever the tenure that this guy is there, but it does in a sense inform how good you could potentially be.
Yeah,
whether or not you take the right guy at quarterback in the first round.
Elway, first round pick. Andrew Luck, first round pick. Steve McNair, first round pick. Yeah, I probably messed that up entirely. Everything I just said, take it back.
Yeah, your gut was wrong. It's an interesting thought because you have some examples of that being the case, but. Most teams, their best quarterback was a first rounder. Other positions are not.
Yeah. What was Jamie Collins getting into? He was saying some interesting stuff. Jamie Collins, right?
Yeah. Jamie. Well, it's more about the opt outs. And again, we saw that 66 guys opted out for this season. But he thinks that's not the end of it because the deadline was Thursday. He doesn't think that that's the end of it. Here's Jamie Collins.
We can say how we're going to handle the situation, but if the situation ain't happened yet, we don't really know how we're going to respond. So we needed more time. We need more time. And still later down the road, it's still going to be a problem because, it's a lot of guys. Like I said, emotions are really going to come out if it hits home and affects people that very close to them. Like, people's going to want to opt out, regardless of the deadline date. Like, it's not going to mean anything because it's serious, We're humans at the end of the day.
I don't think he's wrong, BT.
No, I don't either.
Right?
He made a lot of sense with that.
If you are, let's say you're Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins and, your wife has some issue that you don't necessarily know about. And the Cleveland, who's he? Jamie Collins is... Who does he play for? I'm forgetting who he plays
Jamie
for.
Jamie Collins is back with the Pats, right?
Yeah, he's back with the Pats. That's right. So, because he wasn't this last year.
Yep, they traded him to the Browns and blah, blah, blah.
Yep. He's with the Lions.
Lions. That's right. Lions. My bad.
So, Jamie Collins goes with the Lions, and, five or six Lions get infected with coronavirus, and it's starting to, they feel like it's starting to take over, the team, and the locker room starts to get panicky. And you're Jamie Collins and your mom or whoever, wife, has some issue, you're not playing. You're not going to the stadium.
Mm-mm.
You're telling them to go scratch. You're not going to opt out. You're just not going to show up. And then that's when the NFL has a serious issue because NFL players are aggressive like that. And I can see it getting ugly, really ugly. If they're forced to come in when it's not safe for them to come in.
Well, Russell Okung said he's phenomenal. He said that he might retire. Flat out said, I might retire because of this. This is relatively new. Did you see this before?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I just saw it on Twitter. It wasn't that long ago. Not a ton of meat to the story, but Russell Okung is on the record saying I might retire.
Wow, that was just random out of the blue.
Yeah. I mean, it says, this is all I have. New Panthers tackle Russell Okung considering retirement over COVID-19. Let's see. So he missed 10 games in 2019 due to a blood clot in his lungs. He's comfortable walking away from the game if he feels the environment's not safe. If he does retire, the Panthers could then pursue money, but whatever, that's less important now.
Yeah.
Pulmonary embolisms are not listed by the CDC as a factor for increased risk of severe COVID-19 illnesses. That seems...
Yeah.
I'm going to believe that, but that seems almost... that seems unlikely. I don't know why it wouldn't be, but that's what they do. So, but it's unclear if Okun has other health concerns that would have qualified him as a high-risk opt-out for the 2020 season. We'll see.
Yeah.
We had the guy that they swapped, Trey Turner, a couple times on the show, who's now with the Chargers. Remember the swap?
Yeah, but
we
it sounds
him
like
on the show. I mean, that almost sounds about Russell.
That almost sounds like he's ready to retire, anyways.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like he had a serious heart condition or embolism condition that it shocks you when you're 32 years old because he'll be 33 soon.
No, he's 31. He's going to be 32 in October, I think.
Yeah. So he's 32 now. He'll be 33 in October. So he's 32 years old right now. Born October 7th, 1987. So he's 32 years old right now.
I got him at 1988. I hate to do this to you, but I'm very curious who's right. I've got him born October 7th, 1988. He's 31. That's what I have.
I'm looking at Pro Football Reference.
I'm looking at Wikipedia. My money's on yours.
Wikipedia is always wrong. Wikipedia had my middle name as some, I don't know, Middle Eastern middle name for a long time.
Gotcha.
I think
gotcha.
It actually still is, to be honest with you. Forget Wikipedia. Don't trust it.
No, I hear
But whatever. It doesn't matter. 32 or 33, soon to be. Yeah. You played 10 years. You've been great. You made a good amount of money. Are you as dedicated to being that guy? You bounced around the last couple of years as well. Probably he's probably ready to retire anyways. Mm-hmm. This just might be the straw that breaks the camel back.
There's going to be, you know, we talk about the unforeseen expectations, or I should say, situations, occurrences that just creep up during training camp. But, you know, there's going to be a day where we're just kind of rolling along and it's just a, you know, otherwise innocuous mid or late August day. And boom, we're hit with a story. This flares up for a team and there's 10 positives. And I mean, there's going to be some messy turns. Hopefully we can just plow through it and get through it.
Yep.
But I also think at some point, I really think that, and maybe it is Russell Okun who's going to be the first to do it, that a star is just going to retire. You know, I wouldn't, or midseason say, like Jamie said, forget about your opt-out list. I'm done. I'm just walking away. I'm out.
Well, I mean, it's you're just scared. Like, there's no precedent here. There's nothing like, oh, we've seen this before. This is what's going to happen. There's none of that. And so if you're scared, what do? You bow out. And I think a lot of guys might do that. Jamie's right. You know, it sounds odd, you know, to say it because they had the chance to with this deadline yesterday at 4 p.m. But I think Jamie's dead on, man. These guys are not going to stomach being in harm's way just to play a sport.
All right. Well, listen, Tiger, he found the short stuff, middle of the fairway, piped the drive on one. Nice second shot, was about 10 feet away for a pretty makeable birdie. Just missed it, tap in par. He's off and running. Brandel Chambly. Somebody almost jarred one from the fairway. Brandel Chambly is going to join us next. He's been in San Francisco for the past week or so. He's done a great job. I've watched him every night. Good friend of the show. He is next. We'll talk a little golf, see what's happening with this field over at Harding Park in San Francisco. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can have your battery tested there for free while you wait. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices. Every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227 and brought to you by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? Well, it's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. So Tiger missed a birdie putt at one on two. He drove it, barely stuffed its way into the rough, and he came up a little short on his second shot. So he's working his way around the green. And Rory had a birdie, some good scores so far, a beautiful venue. And we're joined now by a guy who just takes amazing pleasure and with intellect and passion breaking down the golf swing. Nobody better, honestly. Brandel Chambly from the Golf Channel. And it's been a while, but he's back with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Brandel, how you doing, man?
I'm great, and it's a real pleasure to join you guys. I always like talking a little golf and occasionally losing bets to you fellas.
Hey, listen, just make sure you let the audience know who won the bet. That would be this guy. All right, listen.
You guys want to get in my pocket again, don't you? That's it.
You got a lot of money. And by the way, even if you were destitute, you just look affluent. The hair. Right, Teak, am I right? Doesn't he just look rich?
You're right. He looks like he belongs on a golf course.
He does, you know? So I watched
Until
a lot.
Can I play?
Well, can you? You tell us. Can you still play?
A little bit.
I know you can. Watching a lot of the coverage earlier this week from Harding Park, you and Justin Leonard and Rich Lerner. Watched it every night, a matter of fact. And, you know, one of the things that jumped out is while the course is playing a little bit more than 7,200 yards, it was kind of estimated that based on, you know, the marine layer and the temperature, probably play more a little bit closer to 8,000 yards, which would, you know, rule out a lot of guys who don't crush it off the tee. I know Zach Johnson's stumbling a little bit today, but he was very good yesterday. Has that played itself out? Has the big hitter been most rewarded, or is this not what you expected?
No, it is playing itself out. I mean, there is, you know, the rare player atop the leaderboard who doesn't hit it very far, and I think Brendan Todd is the most obvious one. Matter of fact, he's one of, if not the shortest hitter on the PGA Tour, but he's putting incredibly well. And I think he will struggle on the weekend because inevitably he's going to hit it in the rough. And he can barely get it anywhere near the green out of the rough. He's almost averaging 100 feet with his proximity to the hole out of the rough. So, you know, what's playing out is it's so hard to hit the fairways anymore because the solid core golf ball makes everybody pretty long. So their dispersion rate's pretty high. So you've got to be really strong to get it out of this rough. Ha Tong Lee is leading this event as we speak. He only hit four fairways today, but out of the rough, he was a god. You know, he was like Nicklaus back in the 60s. And that's kind of been his forte. I mean, Ha Tong Lee is not well known here in the United States, but he's a formidable world-class player. Beat Rory McIlroy a few years ago coming down the stretch in a big event. Lost to Justin Rose in another event in a playoff. Went head-to-head with Dustin Johnson at the Saudi International last year, where he sat 62 in the third round. So, and then you see Cameron Champ up there, Tony Finau up there, Paul Casey up there, Brooks Koepka up there. So, you know, surprisingly, you know, yes, they're hitting it pretty straight, but if they get in the rough, they've got the power to get out of this thick cabbage.
Yeah, no, earlier when we were detailing this, I guess it was Wednesday before the opening round, BT and I were speculating that because it is playing so long, that, you know, it would benefit the big hitter. And so Bryson might have a good shot at this, but he was erratic. And you're talking about the rough, and watching him yesterday, he was all over the rough in some regards. He still played pretty well. But does this benefit the long hitter as much as you would assume it does?
Yeah, I mean, when you start talking about Bryson, right, all missed fairways are not the same. I mean, he's got a bigger miss right now than I think he normally does. And he's not a particularly good iron player. And he's, you know, he's certainly struggling with his control. Bryson's never finished better than 15th in a major championship, primarily because he's not a great iron player. So, yeah, his driving is getting a lot of attention, and he's able to get it down there where he's got short irons. But by and large, there are other players who hit it longer or close to as long as him who are just better iron players, and that's going to be the story.
Yeah, I mean, even at the Rocket Mortgage in Detroit, and I watched, you know, the entire final round, you know, he finally nailed one with the wedge on 18 and he dropped the birdie and he sealed the deal. But I mean, when you hit the ball 370, but then you put a wedge 30 feet from the pin, it mitigates a lot of the advantage.
It does. You know, he actually won that event.
Yep.
Losing strokes to the field with his approach shots. You know, almost half of his shots, he lost strokes to the field. But, you know, he was down there with a little sand wedge from 80 yards, and he did it 20 feet. Now, you hit it 20 feet with a sand wedge, and you're going to lose strokes to the field. So, you know, you can afford to do it if you hit 9 miles, and the rough's not that bad. But the rough is pretty bad here. So how wide your miss matters and how sharp you are out of the rough certainly does matter. You know, we kind of thought that, you know, you're going to have to really hit fairways here, and you are, but you're going to have a small miss, and you're going to have to be great out of the rough.
Makes sense. So we're talking to our buddy Brandel Chambly, who has been bunkered down in beautiful San Francisco, Harding Park, great historic venue. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. I've got a question about Brooks Koepka, and I want to make sure I have the numbers right. The other night you said on TV that, you know, he's won roughly 5% of his non-major starts, if I have this right. And
that's right.
Okay, and I believe 21% of his major starts. Is that in the neighborhood? Is that right?
16% of his major starts he's won. And
okay.
So while he drives guys like me nuts who are, you know, supposed to try to get their arms around this, he's a completely different player than he is in regular tour events in major championships. And our Tiger Woods was the same player in major championship. He won at the same clip. Didn't matter where he was winning. Same with Jack Nicklaus.
Yep.
And so you look at Brooks and you think, well, he does a lot of things that are comparable to the greats in the game besides just showing up sort of lethargic a lot at regular tour events. But, you know, maybe that is the case. Maybe he is the rare individual who is kind of bored at regular tour events, and it takes a major championship to pique his interest. Regardless, you just can't deny the fact that when they ring the bell in a major championship, you're looking at arguably, you know, a guy that could become one of the best players of all time.
I mean, I don't dispute any of that. My question, though, is I wonder if that is a turnoff, even if it's off the record stuff, to a lot of the old timers who grinded on a week. I know the money was different, so you had to grind more.
Well,
blah,
it's all
blah,
about
blah.
Them. It's got to be all about the
I
money.
I get
right?
it, but you know, if you're the best in the game, whenever you stick a tee in the ground, you got to be motivated to dominate. And I don't see that in the non-majors.
Yeah, and I'm sure it is, but you know, there are a lot of consequences to ridiculous money, and one of them is complacency, and one of them is being sated. And, you know, you would think those are career hurdles. So in terms of overall PGA Tour wins, is he going to be debated with Sam Snead and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer? Not likely, but who knows? I mean, the way he's playing golf right now, you know, maybe he gets up into that rare category of 6-7 major championships. I mean, that is otherworldly sort of category. I mean, he keeps redefining himself in major championships. So,
yeah,
it is just a caveat to this generation.
Yeah, a notable name you left off that career victory list is Tiger Woods. Tiger is 2-under right now. I think he's even on the day so far.
Yep.
What do you give your chances for Tiger? I mean, we know that he has not played a lot. We speculated, even though we didn't have like full confirmation, that earlier in the year he had some injury, back issues. He just wasn't feeling well. He looked a little thinner than he has been. What are your chances for Tiger, who obviously a lot of people are paying attention to for this first major of the season?
I'd say the biggest question coming in this week was just how well he was going to move, given the cool conditions, the heavy air. I think we can agree that's not necessarily the best thing for his back or body. He looked sort of gimpy and lethargic at the Memorial. His swing speed or his ball speed was down around 170. If you're at 170, half the world of golf, professional golf, is faster than you. His swing speed or his ball speed yesterday was up around 180. And believe it or not, in the morning wave, he led the field in driving distance. And he finished fifth overall. So, it's like I don't even know which Tiger Woods is going to show up. Is it the guy that won the Zozo? Or is it the guy that stumbled around the last few rounds in L.A. at the Genesis? So that was a big question mark that he seemed to answer yesterday. And then with his first tee shot today, he rifled it out there, 305 yards past Justin Thomas and just a few yards short of Rory McIlroy. So that big question is answered. So it would not surprise me if Tiger Woods were a factor in this event late Sunday if his body continues to hold up.
You know, it's funny, too. It's on a Brandel Chambly, and it's so rare that that you don't have something to say on the air. And I'm watching you the other day. You bring up the Dirk analogy, right? And then they start dropping Berea and these names you don't know. And I'm like, this guy just dug himself a hole. Right? You didn't know what was going on there.
Listen, you have never met anybody who knows less about other sports than me. I can promise you that.
How is that possible?
So when I start to make another sports analogy, which I love to do,
yeah,
I dive in deep, right? I'll dive in deep. Or I will call a couple of my friends who are absolutely sports nuts, you know, ESPN guys. You know, if I'm going to make a football analogy, I'll call Trey Wingo. If I'm going to make any other analogy, I'll call this great stats guy, Justin Ray, right? And I'll make sure I'm in my right lane. But no, how is that possible? I grew up in Texas, first of all. I grew up riding horses. All I did was play road, you know, riding rodeos and play days. And then once I took up golf, it was like, you know, I was so singularly focused in golf, that was about it for me. But yes, I do really well if we talk about golf. Beyond that, or politics, I can do that a little bit, or rodeo. But beyond that, you know, I'm going to listen.
Wait, what context did they bring J.J. Barea up? I mean, he's a coach now. You know,
you think he knows?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You brought it up.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. All that matters is that we had one of the best analysts, I think the best, and a guy who's treated us well.
Awesome.
Brandel, appreciate you picking up the phone 3,000 miles away and hooking up our audience with some good intel. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to join both of you. Thanks so much. Cheers.
Thank you, Brandel. Be well.
You got it. And I'm serious. He just looks affluent.
Yeah, he does. I'm telling you. He looks like he belongs on a golf course.
The hair flowing,
agreed.
Right?
I guess it's like it's been his influence his whole life. So, I mean, it just is what it is.
Oh, man, that was great. What did Tiger do? All right, Tiger, you're right. He's par. Now he's in the bunker. I believe it's the third hole of par three.
Yeah.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay. We'll get an update here from Bob Huesler. We'll come back. We'll do the blast. And we'll see what Tiger does out of the sand. Huesler's update is right now. All right, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here on Tiki and Tierney. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question comes from Jason in California. And Jason writes, with the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry picking up even more steam now with the Harbaugh Day stuff, would you rather win every game except the rivalry? Or have a mediocre season but win the big game? It's a good question. What do you think, Teak?
I think I would rather win every game except the rivalry. Nobody wants a mediocre season.
Here's the thing. That's my first instinct, too, but here's the problem. If you win every game but the rivalry game.
Context matters. Am I Jim Harbaugh?
That's true. That's true, too.
If I'm Jim Harbaugh, then give me the rivalry game. If I'm anybody else, I think it's the former.
But if you can't beat your rival, especially if it's a top-tier rival like Ohio State, even if you win every other game, you'll probably still lose to them, but Ohio State might not make it there to the Final Four. I don't know. There's a lot of I'm going to answer it. I would rather win the rivalry game, too. I'd rather win the rivalry game because – I think if you piece together enough rivalry game wins, eventually the recruits notice, and eventually you win the rivalry game and you don't have mediocre seasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know
does.
What I mean? Eventually you get
it
both.
Does.
All right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all of your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Chamblee's great, isn't he?
He is great, but I got to tell you, I think Jason Day's winning this tournament.
He might. Wouldn't surprise me.
He says 700 through six. He's just playing great. Just easy, confident, no craziness, no ups, no downs, just simple and easy.
Easy to forget how great he was.
That's right.
And got hurt. Back in the back will knock anybody to their knees. So we'll see. Yeah, listen, if Jason hangs on, wouldn't surprise me. You know he's not going to be afraid of the stage. Although he hasn't been on the stage for a little bit.
That's right.
He's not going to be afraid of the stage, which will be great. All right, you ready for the blast here?
Yep, let's hit it.
Okay.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, this morning on Good Morning Football, Adrian Peterson discussed what he still wants to accomplish in his career.
Win a championship is the one that I'm chasing the most, you know. But, you know, obviously that's one of my goals that I set for myself. You know, when I enter into the NFL, was to be able to, you know, pass the goal. So my body is feeling good. You know, I look forward to playing, you know, a couple more years, 3 to 4 more years. Who knows?
All right. So which is Peterson more likely to obtain before he hangs him up, a ring or the all-time record? Go ahead, running back.
This is a tough one, BT. I don't think a ring is happening anytime soon in Washington. when he is a bit of a way away from Emmitt Smith's 18,000 yards. I mean, he's still got four seasons. He's got maybe he can do it in three if he's getting 300 carries a year. But is Adrian Peterson getting 300 carries a year for the next 3 years, 300 plus carries a year for the next 3 years when he's already 35?
No.
The answer is no.
No.
So if I'm being realistic,
you gotta pick one.
The only possibility is for him to win a championship with the Washington Football Club or wherever he ends up.
It's not even a conversation. I agree. I mean, it's not like he's got a 5-year deal with Washington. Yeah, you know, he's going to be bouncing around if he wants to pursue that record. And while I agree he'll fall short of the record in his travels of bouncing around for the record, maybe he stumbles upon a ring. I'm with you. Michael Loxley, the Maryland head football coach, has informed the National Coalition of Minority. He formed it, pardon me. Not informed. He formed it. The National Coalition of Minority Football Coaches. Now, the idea is to help speed up the process of minority coaches moving up the ranks in college football and the NFL. Will it work? Won't hurt. I mean, it's certainly a good starting point. Will it work? I don't know. Ultimately, you can have all these groups and coalitions and all these movements. The Russell, for sure, these are all great things. They're born from a great place, but the people doing the hiring ultimately have to get to a point of inflection where they either change maybe some preconceived ideas or based on familiarity, probably a better way to frame it. And until that happens, I don't know that you'll fully see it, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, no, I think it will help. I don't know what the impact, how quickly the impact will be, but it will help because it will, I think, breed other initiatives like this. Now, Michael Loxley was obviously at Alabama. He was a stud coordinator there at Alabama. He's 50 years old. It took him this long to get a head coaching opportunity, obviously, at Maryland. We know how that came about because of the Jordan McNair death and DJ Durkin got fired. So there was an opening, and he happened into this job. Now, will this make a lasting difference? I think so. Immediate, probably not, but lasting, yeah, I think it's awesome.
I think he's keeping some kids home too. I saw something the other day. I didn't caught it like mid. I think it was on the Big Ten Network where I only caught a few minutes of. But it was interesting. It looks like he's really starting to get some of those great players.
There's some great kids. Because DeMatha is in Maryland. There's some great schools in the Northern Virginia, Maryland area. Even just you can get into Virginia and Jersey. You know, with some of the recruiting territories that Maryland grabs. Absolutely.
I think we'll have Loxley next week on the show, so looking forward to getting to know him.
Nice.
Having him on the that's what Santa just told us. There you go. The Mavericks, the Dallas Mavericks, 1-3 so far in the bubble, with their only win coming in overtime to the Kings. How concerned are we about the Mavericks heading into the playoffs?
I can't take anything out of this bubble, BT. I really can't. I know that we talked about the Lakers earlier, and that's only because of the individual. LeBron is off and disengaged. He's shooting very poorly, but he's an okay distributor. But he's also talking about these bubble issues and not team issues. I mean, he's emotionally fragile, so I worry about the Lakers because of their star. I don't think the Mavericks are having any of those issues. And other than that, I can't really look at this bubble and make a determination about it. So I'm going to say they're going to be okay. Even though they are, I mean, they're not. They're making a postseason, so that's all that matters. Their first round matchup is going to be rough, regardless.
Listen, they're still a year away. And, you know, Luka. Remember, they were rumbling. We had Mark Cuban on. What kind of shape was Luka in? You know, they both went back to European KP, and there were some thoughts maybe Luka put on some weight. Luka Doncic is a transcendent player, and KP's trusting his knee again and becoming an absolute beast. So they're not far away. This isn't the year. Like you, anything can happen. I'm not worried because I know they're not going to win anything yet this year. But they're coming. And Mavericks fans are going to be treated to a nice little run with those two guys leading the way. And a great coach. This was interesting. Ozzie Guillen, former outspoken.
I heard him on Joe and Evan today. Did you stay logged on? After no. So I stayed logged on. So we're on Comrex's because BT and I are operating from our home studios, Quicken Loan Studios at home. But, you know, I stayed on Joe and Evan, and they started talking about this earlier today. They were so funny.
Well, listen to it. We got it. I actually saw this. I saw it yesterday, and I guess it's really getting out there today. That's why they would have touched it. But I saw the video. You'll hear the audio here. This is in studio, NBC Sports Chicago. And this is Ozzie Guillen, or Guillen, how we're talking about Nick Swisher, his 1 year with the White Sox, and it wasn't favorable. The body language you eventually need to see. So this doesn't even do it full justice.
I hate Nick Swisher with my heart.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. You want to get into that a little more, or no?
No, not really, but I think he hit me back. That's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I can't.
You guys just didn't get along. Didn't work out.
No, I know. I never talked to him. I was managing him, but I don't like the way his attitude was all fake.
Yeah.
And I don't like fake people.
All right, so he was only in with the White Sox for 1 year, and then he moved on.
It was 1 year too long.
Quote, I hate Nick Swisher with my heart. Wow. Should he have kept his feelings to himself?
No, he's entertaining. He's doing a show. It wasn't Joe and Evan locally because it flipped over once I came on. It was whoever was filling in. For Rome today. It's those brothers, they're comedians. Oh, the Sklar brothers. They were filling in for Rome today. Mm-hmm. And they had Ozzie Guillen on. And he kept calling him Nick Sweater. Nick Swiss Sweater. They were like, it was hilarious, man. Yeah, but he doesn't like Nick Swisher. The gist of it is that he's too good looking. He's too good looking, and therefore, he's more worried about looking in a mirror than he is about playing baseball.
Okay.
Yes.
He's a good-looking guy. He's not Brad Pitt. I mean, relax.
I'm just telling you what Ozzie Guillen
is. No, I hear you. I think that I appreciate his honesty a little step too far. I mean, you're still involved in the game. This isn't – you're not writing a book. You're not retired. You're looking into a camera for the affiliate for the White Sox, and you say, I hate a player with my heart. That's a little strong. I would dial that down. That's not a good look for Ozzie Guillen.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, Tiger missed a par putt, dropped the shot, par three, bunker, blasts out, just skinned it by the left side, missed it by not even a rotation, like 1/10 of an inch. So he does pick up a bogey on three. He is minus one for the event. Good week, Teak. Good week of shows here,
local,
brother.
Local and national. I just said it because I saw Jason Day playing so well. I'm going with Jason Day for the weekend, man. Tommy Fleetwood, I'm liking the way he's playing as well. Shot a 70 to no, a 64 today after a 70 in round one. So I'm going to say Jason Day. I like Jason Day.
Let me see here. Is he going to bypass Haotong Lee? Because we don't know a lot about his game.
I hear you. I can't pick a guy I've never seen play.
I hear you. And Brandel did a nice job chronicling some big moments, but I'm with you. Fleetwood, you know, of course you go to the top of the leaderboard, you're going to pick somebody. I hear you. Fleetwood's a guy who has not played a lot this year because of the virus. Tommy Fleetwood's a beast, man.
Yeah.
He is very good. I mean, some of these names, Brendan Todd, I could see maybe fizzling a little.
Definitely.
I would keep an eye on Xander Schauffele, minus five. He's big time. Justin Rose is laying, you know, minus four. Well, listen, there's a lot of names. That's the point. Enjoy the coverage on CBS. Teak, I'll catch you Monday. Everybody have an outstanding weekend. Safe, sensible, sane. We'll see you. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.